Hello and welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of January 27th through February 2nd. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was 11 and eventually turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot. So did you guys have an intense week following the super blood moon eclipse, or was it just me? I've been hearing this from a lot of clients and just friends and family in general. As I mentioned last week, this was a really powerful eclipse. It was a closing of a series of eclipses dating all the way back to May of 2017. So this was and still is a powerful time of releasing situations, relationships, and behaviors which may no longer serve us. You may have been tempted with scenarios as well, kind of situations or scenarios that your old self might have engaged in, and you actually probably felt a sneaking suspicion that this was kind of like a Super Mario level test from the universe. I had one of these situations come up this week, but luckily I saw through it and I managed to avoid the trap. There's still a lot of kind of remaining aftermath for the next couple of days. You may have gone through this past week. So if you were feeling a bit emotional, don't worry. We're almost through it. Like I said, it was a really powerful clearing eclipse, and there's always kind of a transition period after. So after the next week, we're going to be full-blown through it, moving into that lovely Aquarius energy. The moon's actually now headed into its waning stage, meaning that it's getting smaller and smaller until it resets as a powerful new moon in Aquarius happening on February 4th. This is our last week of the month, so we're getting ready to say goodbye to January's cards, i.e. the Magician, aka the Lady Gaga card. This is the card that represents putting energy out into the world and changing the way others see things. The Magician represents actualized potential, so this last week of January is a really good time to initiate any connections you may have, especially if they can move a project or idea you're working on forward. So if you were kind of toying with the idea of reaching out to someone, emailing them, this last week is really a good time to put that to fruition. Also, we're wrapping up January's other card, Six of Cups. This is the nostalgia card. Six of Cups often represents a reconnection with someone or something that reminds us of happiness from our past. So if you haven't already, make plans with your family or core peeps to get together for a celebratory dinner or fun night out. To hear more in-depth info about the cards for January and the 2019 year overview, you can also go back to episode 24 of this podcast. Now for the card of the week. Temperance. All right, I have a complex relationship with this card. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this is a winged angel that is somewhat androgynous, and the angel is pouring liquid from one golden cup to another with one foot in a stream and the other foot on land. The water being transferred back and forth is supposed to remind us to stay in the flow, and having one foot in the water and one on land kind of demonstrates the importance of maintaining a balance. In Badass Bitches Tarot, this is Gwyneth Paltrow, the gooptastic mother actress and wellness mogul who shows us that with balance, inner awareness will guide us towards fulfillment. The Temperance card is ruled by Sagittarius, which is always funny to me because as a Sag and being friends with many other Sagittarians, I wouldn't say that patience and moderation are our strong suit, but I suppose it's something we need to often be reminded of. Temperance also represents the alchemist. She reminds us that we need to pay attention to our intuition and the universe's signs regarding when to get in there and mix it up and alchemize those cups, and when to step back and moderate. To me, this card often reminds me not to force things. This week will most likely present opportunities to strike that balance between getting up in the mix and stepping back and observing, whether that's at work or with personal relationships. And speaking of incredibly talented, badass energy alchemists, I'm so excited to introduce the author of the Tarot Coloring Book, Tarot for Troubled Times, and creator of Tarot Bites, the podcast, Teresa Reed, who most of you know as the Tarot Lady. Hey, Teresa, how are you?
I'm great, Bex. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy that you were able to join us. I am such a huge fan of your podcast and everything that all of your books. I love the Tarot Coloring Book. So I guess the first thing, there's a million questions that I have for you, but can you tell us a little bit about how you began working with tarot? Because I know that you've been doing it for a really long time.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I've been reading tarot for almost 40 years, which tells you, oh my God, how old I am. We hate giving away our age, but I actually discovered it when I was a teenager, but I came to it through astrology first, because you know, when I was a typical teenager, what are we doing as teenagers? We're trying to figure out who we are. And at that time, I had a girlfriend who's still my best friend to this day. And she had a mother who was really unusual. Her mother was a pianist. She was a psychotherapist. And she was also really into astrology. So this woman said, well, let me do your astrology chart. And I said, yeah, sure, of course. You know, I had seen bits about astrology and the green sheet, which was this little supplemental newspaper that we used to have. So of course I was nosy as heck. And anyhow, she did it. And it made so much sense to me. And I started studying astrology immediately. In fact, you know, she passed on many years ago, and I have all of her, I have her old astrology book, which is still my favorite astrology book ever. It's called How to Astroanalyze Yourself by Ilya Chamberlain, and it's very hard to get, but I love it. But anyhow, I was at a bookstore looking for more astrology books on one of those rare ventures where my parents took us to the mall. We rarely got out that way, but I always made a beeline for those bookstores. Still do that to this day, by the way. And I went to that small metaphysical section. There wasn't much available back then, and I saw a tarot deck. Now, I had seen tarot decks on television, and so once again, my curiosity was like, oh, I've seen this. I'm going to take this home with me. So I didn't end up bringing home an astrology book. I brought home a tarot deck, and I began fiddling around with those cards, and they spoke to me immediately. I'm a really visual person. You know, so the images, all of that, how they went together, the patterns, how it looked when you laid them out, I really had kind of a knack for it right off the bat, and I've been studying it ever since. So, you know, that's kind of how I got into it.
I love that. And I feel like a lot of people, guests on the show and a lot of tarot practitioners that I've spoken to, that kind of is like the gateway drug is astrology. And I think it's kind of more out there, like in the cultural, like in pop culture, you know, in magazines and newspapers, that people kind of that have an interest in that, then it leads the way to tarot. So I think that that's a cool backstory. And I love that you say that you're a very visual person. Is that kind of, is that how you ended up creating the tarot coloring book? Because I refer so many people back to the tarot coloring book as beginners, because I think it's a really cool, it's a very visual process. And it also, the exercises kind of in the coloring book help you, I think, become more connected to the cards.
Absolutely. And actually, there is two reasons behind that. The visual part of me is because I actually have hearing issues. And I've had hearing issues since I've been a child, and had all, and most people don't know this because, you know, they're okay for now, but down the road, it's probably going to be a bigger problem for me. But I was the little girl who had to get hearing tests all the time. I had tubes in my ears. I had my tonsils out twice. I mean, just a lot of crazy hearing issues. My father actually lost most of his hearing when he got older. So I know that's the route that I'm heading. So as a child, my way of learning, you know, wasn't listening to the teacher talk. Sometimes I couldn't hear, even if I sat in the front of the room, if the teacher was quiet and soft-spoken. So I would have to go home and read and study and get my hands dirty in order for me to learn. So my learning has always been very experiential, very visual. If I have a visual chart in front of me, if I have words written down, I'm getting it. If I could put my hands on it, even better. And, you know, it's interesting because with the tarot coloring book, when I initially gave my book proposal to them, it was just for a straight up tarot book, excuse me. And my publisher said, hey, what do you think of a coloring book? So it was actually their idea. And I was like, oh my God, that's brilliant, because I'm also a yoga teacher. And when I was studying yoga teacher training many years ago, the thing I had the hardest time with was this damn anatomy. I mean, for some reason, I'm like, Teresa, you're really smart. You're used to being a straight A student. Why are you not getting this? I could not get my head wrapped around it. So I got this anatomy coloring book, and I started working with that, and it clicked. Because again, a visual and experiential. And so to me, the idea of a tarot coloring book was just a real genius on the part of my publisher. And I said, let's do it. I think that this is going to help people who, like myself, tend to be more visual, more creative, more hands-on. And, you know, that's what really inspired it. And that was just for me, like, of course, a no-brainer. Because, you know, most of the tarot books that are out there, they're not experiential. You get a book, you get a deck, and the only other way to learn is by really reading for people as much as you can.
Yeah, well, that's what I love about the tarot coloring book. And I created my own deck, and that was kind of my purpose. Was it started very similarly kind of to the setup of your coloring book, is that it was just experiential for me to kind of delve more deeply into the cards of, you know, the archetypes, the images, like why would I pick certain women for each card? Mm-hmm. Why did I choose certain colors? And so I always, that was really helped me kind of take it to a deeper level. So that's why I've gifted your book to friends that are kind of interested in learning more about tarot, possibly starting to read. And I think it really, you're right. A lot of what's out there are, you know, some now online courses, obviously YouTube videos, and then there's just books that you can try to learn by rote. But I think that if you are someone visual, if you really like to kind of, create your own adventure, your coloring book is the perfect way to get started with that. So I'm so grateful that you created that and put that out there.
Thank you. You know, one of the interesting things when we were working on the tarot coloring book, of course, you know, I had to go color in those images too. I started looking into it and seeing stuff that I never noticed before, because the pictures are blown up and it's like, oh my God, in the death card, in the background, there is a worshiper kneeling in front of a little cross. Why did I never notice this before? That was one of the most fascinating things about diving in deep. And I think for artists like yourself who actually create these decks, you're getting in there, you're creating and seeing things also really up close. So you're getting really intimate just by creating the decks.
Well, that was, mine is derived, from the Smith-Rider-Waite deck. So I looked at the original imagery from that, a lot of other decks that were also derived from it. And then I picked kind of like an iconic pop culture female for each of the 78 cards. And it was definitely a really involved process, but it was, like you're saying, it was enjoyable, because even though I had been reading for a long time, it looked at things from a different angle. So I think that it is a really cool way to learn. Since you have been doing this for such a long time, do you feel like your style in reading has evolved? And now, do you spend more time teaching than reading, or is it a mix of both? Because I know a lot of times that people that have just like your layers and layers of experience, it can start teaching more than reading. Do you still do both equally?
I am more of a reader. I mean, I teach a lot and I love to teach, but I love to read. I love to read people. I love to fiddle with the cards with people. I love helping people. And teaching is something I adore doing too. I mean, I've been teaching yoga for like 15 years. So teaching is also really in my wheelhouse. But there is something about sitting down and opening up that deck and shuffling those cards and beginning that intimate conversation with somebody and helping them and guiding them. That is so satisfying. It is, you know, very service oriented what I do. So reading makes up the bulk of what I do, but I do teach. You know, I teach on occasion, and I teach if it sounds like it's something interesting to teach, if I'm invited somewhere interesting, you know, I'll throw down and teach anytime, anywhere. But boy, do I love to read. And I got to tell you, I can't imagine giving up the reading part, because there's something about it that's so intimate. And I think that's the thing. I'm a one-on-one person. I love relationships. I love connecting with people. So tarot is my way to do that. It's my way to serve. So it's still primarily doing the readings.
I love that, because I feel like I haven't been doing it as long as you at this point, but I feel like that as well. Like I've had, I'm so grateful that I've had opportunities to teach and do a lot of events, but I really love exactly everything that you've described, the connectivity, kind of when clients find it healing. I think that there is a healing for the reader in that as well. Yes. So yeah, so I love that experience, and I feel the same way. Like I really enjoy doing it, and I can't see myself, ever being at a point where I don't. So you mentioned that you are also a yoga instructor, and I know from stalking all your social media, I see a lot about that. Do you kind of infuse tarot into your yoga teaching? Do you like kind of, I don't know, mesh those two modalities? Because I feel like they could possibly work well together.
They actually work really well together. And I taught a whole series of classes based on the tarot deck.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh my God, my students loved it. Because, you know, there's a lot of yogic philosophy and there's a lot of Zen Buddhist philosophy also that kind of weaves into everything that I do. Those are the two philosophies that have really stuck with me to some degree. And it comes into my tarot readings, because one of my biggest things is about letting go and chilling the hell out. And I think a lot of us, we are anxious, we're worried about the future. And although tarot can give you guidelines for what may be coming, you know, my message behind it is you need to relax. We're going to be okay. We're going to figure out a way there. And that all comes from, you know, my yogic and Zen Buddhist background. By the way, I'm a lousy Buddhist, so I'm very lousy at it because I certainly don't have all those Zen mindsets and yogic mindsets down myself. I still lose my temper. I'm certainly, you know, got a lot of indulgences that I enjoy. And yeah, so not totally all the way there, but I do enjoy all that philosophy stuff.
Yeah, well, it's always, I mean, it's I feel like a lifelong, like, evolution and process. I always say that as well. I think that I wish that I was in Milwaukee and able to take your classes, because that sounds amazing. I take yoga. I'm not extremely well-versed in it, but I do take classes and really enjoy it. And the one thing that I kind of have seen parallels with is, like you were describing, is kind of that surrender into periods that can be uncertain or uncomfortable. And I feel like that's a lot of advice that you get in the cards is like, okay, you can fight this. It's going to happen and you can fight it, or you can kind of surrender and into whether that's an uncomfortable yoga pose, if that's a moment, if it's a teaching moment in life, and, you know, really choose to absorb it and learn from it.
Right on. And I think, you know, the thing with yoga, I have a weird studio. I have a very small studio. It's been in operation for a long time. And we only allow a couple of people in there. It's 3 or 4 people for each class. And my mission is really working with the people who would never ultimately go to a yoga studio. And so a lot of my students, they have health issues, they have injuries, maybe they are, you know, they have body image issues. And so, you know, we're coming together and we're having a good time and stretching and getting comfortable and talking philosophy and talking about the weight of the world and what's going on, you know. So it's a very, very different class. And, but that really kind of reflects on how I do readings too. You know, my goal with readings is to make sure that everybody who comes to me, no matter what condition they're in, no matter what they're going through, this is no judgment. I just want to help you. And so that shines through in all my yoga and all my tarot. And I think yoga is fabulous. I think everybody, by the way, should do yoga.
I love that. And I, like I said, I love that you incorporate tarot into your practice. And that's something that I'm definitely intrigued by and want to, like, learn a little more about and find a way to incorporate that into my practice. I also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, I really love your podcast as well, Tarot Bites. And it's one of the first kind of tarot podcasts that I started to listen to even before I started mine. And I really like the format, and especially how you close the podcast by reminding listeners that you say nothing is ever fixed. The tarot cards tell a story, but you write the ending. Is that kind of indicative of your reading and teaching style as well?
Absolutely. I'm a believer that, you know, when you sit down and get a reading, it shows you the energy of where you are now and where you might be going. You know, and for people who don't do divinatory readings, I'm like, well, you know, most people that come to a reader, it's not for counseling. They're coming here mainly to see what's up ahead. Right. And I'm a believer that if you have an idea of what's up ahead, you can make better decisions. And everything in your life is determined by your decisions. You know, you can choose if the cards are terrible. Well, let me just sit with this and stew in it and let all this, you know, just head towards this potential negative stuff. Or maybe if I don't like what those cards are saying, maybe I can make a really good decision that's going to turn my life into a better direction. So I'm a firm believer that we do have free will, that although we can see things that are coming, which, by the way, we can't see everything, but although we can get an idea of what's ahead, it doesn't mean that it's set in stone. You know, I'm always amazed at people who assume that life just happens to them. And it's like, no. Your life is happening because of, again, the decisions you're making. Sometimes it's also the decisions of other people. But even if there's a decision that another person makes that affects you, how are you reacting to it? What are you doing from this point forward? So yeah, it absolutely is my philosophy. And I even look back at my life, you know, and I'm, again, now in my 50s, and there were times in my life where everything felt very dramatic, very terrible, very, you know, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening to me. But when I started adjusting my own philosophy and saying, now, wait a minute, okay, this is where I'm at, this really sucks, but what can I do in this moment right now to get me into a better place, even if it's only a better mindset? And what can I do from there to start steering myself in a direction that's healthy? Now, being in a healthy direction doesn't always mean, again, we're doing exactly what we want or we're getting everything that we want, but it's always about, let's look for the most healthiest conscious choice possible. And, you know, when you start living your life like that, your life becomes magical. It really does.
I love that. And I think that you have such an eloquent way of describing that to listeners. And it's something that I always try to communicate as well to clients, because I feel like, I'm sure you've had clients as well that come in and they're like, I'm scared. Like, what if, you know, what if I see something negative? What, you know, I don't know if I want to see. And it's like, oh, it's exactly what you said. I always feel like it's kind of just like, that's like a little bit of a yellow light. Okay, if you don't like it, you can slow down and pause and reflect. And what is it that you don't like about it? How would you move differently if you knew that was on the horizon? But yeah, that's the thing that hooked me. The first podcast I listened to of yours, I was like, oh, that's beautifully said. And it's like, you say it in such a just direct, very, I don't know, very clear way for people to understand. So I love your style in that.
Thank you. You know, I like to use this one story to illustrate how important it is to sometimes see and accept those negative things. My mother was always a very sick woman. So her being in the hospital was kind of like par for the course. But the last year of her life, she was in the hospital a lot and nobody could figure out what was wrong with her. And this led to a lot of stress. And finally, I got a doctor on the phone that said, look, your mother is very, very ill. And she's got about a year to live at most. And now that may sound like doom and gloom to anybody else, but I'm like, thank you. Now I can go into action. I know what's going on. And I had a 90-year-old father. I could take care of him. I could arrange things. She actually ended up passing away 3 days later after I talked to the doctor. Wow. And I have a whole other story behind that. But the biggest thing was I could go into action. I could be present for my father.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a negative. The positive of this is, let me get into action now. And not knowing was horrible.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, that feeling like, I don't know. So for me, when people come to me and they're like, I'm afraid you're going to see something negative, I'm like, look, if we see something negative, we're going to look for the escape chutes, how to deal with it. We're going to find your way around it, again, to the healthiest way around towards your future. So that's always my viewpoint.
No, and
negative readings are not negative. They serve a purpose.
Well, and I think that makes challenging cards a lot easier to digest and kind of move through. Like if you follow the numerology and the work of Mary Kay Greer, I was in the year of the devil last year and I'm moving into the tower. And those are both like not everyone's favorite cards, but I feel like having, and I definitely saw a lot of, definitely things that I moved through in devil energy in 2018. And moving into the tower, I have friends that are like, oh God, that's so brutal. Like to, go from that into the tower. And I'm like, I'm grateful because it's exactly as you described, you have an awareness and you're like, okay, I can look at this. That means like, how strong is my foundation? What are the things I need to shed? What are the things I need to release? And so I do think it's, I don't know, but I'm somebody that likes to have as much awareness, like you were saying, as possible, instead of just going into something blind and hoping that it's okay.
I like to know. It's kind of like, I was dating a man years and years ago. And I was real crazy about this guy, but he wasn't being honest about something. And I could sense it because, I'm intuitive. And I asked him, I said, listen, I need the truth about this. And he was still being evasive. That's a problem for me. I would rather have the truth. I would have the brutal truth. I want to know what's happening. I don't like being kept in the dark, because if I am, again, awake at the wheel, I can make better decisions. Now, if I'm in the dark and fumbling around, who knows what decision I'm going to make? I want to feel someone in charge of my life. And again, there's things we're not in charge of. There's things that can happen that we cannot absolutely see or predict, but I still want to have as much awareness as possible. I want to feel empowered.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that approach. And I think it also empowers, clients and people that are coming for the healing as well. All right. So since we're getting close to the end of the half hour, I have to ask you, because I ask every guest this, and I always say I love tarot readers' answers because they're much kind of juicier and more involved. Do you have a favorite tarot card in the deck and why?
Absolutely. My favorite tarot card in the deck is the Sun. because the sun is the card of joy and optimism and playfulness and abundance and creativity and all the things I want to feel. And, you know, I always laugh at that. It's my favorite card when I hate going outside in the sun when it's hot. But when the sun shows up in the reading, it's kind of like, it just makes me feel so happy. And, you know, that's how I want to feel. And that's how I want the people I work with to feel too.
I love that. It's Cher in the deck that I created. Cause I just feel like she is, like, she's sparkly. She's always kind of good energy, whether it's like, you know, on stage at a concert or in a movie, like Cher walks on set and you're like, okay, yeah, Cher's here. And I love that card cause I feel like even, you know, even when it illuminates things in shadow, like that's freeing of like, okay, I can see that with clarity now. So that's an awesome pick. I love that card. Do you have a least favorite card?
The Five of Swords. I do not like that card because it always implies deception, hurting people, cruelty. And those are things that I don't like to feel. I don't like people who operate like that.
Yeah.
When I see the Five of Swords, I always think like, oh God, someone's going to be a jerk now.
Yeah. And
maybe because I have a Libra rising, you know, I always want peace and harmony and joy and everyone to get along and to be honest. So the Five of Swords is my bummer card.
Yeah, I agree. I'm Libra Moon. That's funny. I made Five of Swords Omarosa in my deck because I also feel like, which is accurate. And I also feel like it can be like a win, but at what cost, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't love that one either. Is there a card that you feel you embody that you're kind of the essence of?
Ooh, that's a good question. I probably would say my Queen of Swords, even though the High Priestess is my birth card and it makes so much sense because of the work I do, but I'm very Queen of Swords. I'm very efficient. I'm very concise. I'm very cut and dried. I'm very clear in my thinking. I'm clear in my communication. I'm super straightforward, which some people don't like that about me, but that is the energy that I really identify with. So the Queen of Swords, it's like, nope, I'm sassy. I'm straight talking. The one thing that you're going to know if you're friends with me is I've got your back 100%, but I will always tell you the truth. Always.
I so appreciate that. I love that quality. And I also love that card. It's Judge Judy in my deck because I
yes.
think all those things, right? Like she's like to the point, like does not bullshit. She's, you know, also like you said, you're Libra rising. She's getting to like the fair, like, and best highest for everyone involved in a very straightforward way. So I
yeah.
love that. That's an awesome answer.
Well, I always say, I just want everyone to succeed.
Yeah. That's
it. I want everyone to make it.
I love that. Thank you so much, Teresa. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to link in the notes to this podcast back to your Instagram. Your website is thetarotlady.com and your Instagram is @thetarotlady. Is there anything anywhere else that we should look to find you or anything else coming up that we should know about?
Well, you can also find me on Facebook at The Tarot Lady and also Twitter at The Tarot Lady. And Twitter's my favorite place to be on all the social media things because, you know, you get those little quick, you get all those little quick conversations, which I really love. And also I have a new book coming out. I co-wrote a book called Tarot for Troubled Times with Shaheen Miro. Shaheen Miro is the creator of the Lunar Nomad Oracle deck. He's fabulous. And our book is all about, you know, healing your shadow. It's a book on social justice, healing the world. And it also, we use a lot of stuff from Mary Greer's birth cards to in the work that we're doing in that book. So her and Rachel Pollack are such huge inspirations for me. So, you know, what I've learned from that, we incorporate like birth cards and rituals and magic and, you know, all kinds of things because like me, Shaheen, also, we just want to see people healing and doing better and living their best lives. So that's what that book is all about.
Oh my gosh, I'm very excited to read it. That sounds incredible and much needed. Wow. All right. Thank you so much, Teresa. And I hope that you stay warm, although you said that you're enjoying the cold out there in Milwaukee. So have a great week and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I love Teresa's work so much. I also love that she picked Queen of Swords as the card that best represents her. I mean, who doesn't love the Judge Judy card? I highly recommend tuning into Tarot Bites as well if you don't already. Speaking of some Judge Judy truth bombs, we have a coming out of the spiritual closet dating question from Daisy in Boston this week. Daisy writes, "Hi, Cardsy B. I wanted to get your advice on how far out of the closet to come, so to speak, on dating apps. I work in the beauty industry, and my photos and stats don't necessarily portray obsessed with astrology and moon cycles. What is a good balance to strike in order to put this side of myself out there without looking like a crazy hippie witch?" All right. Hey, Daisy. I love that name, by the way. Trey Great Gatsby Chic. I feel like the best advice, as cheesy as it may sound, is just be as genuine as possible. If you love to dress in stilettos and designer clothes, but also can spot a Gemini rising from a mile away, I mean, put that out there. You can choose photos that seem the most accurate and that represent you physically and energetically, and still kind of highlight your love of astrology and Mama Moon's phases in the hobby and notes section. I used to be really afraid of posting too much about my kind of tarot witchy side and play up what I thought was my glamorous fashion career, but honestly, when I did that, it often attracted people that weren't really in sync with who I really am. So my advice is just be you, be weird and fabulous, and you'll have more fun and meet way cooler people that way. So before we head out, let me give the month's recap quickly. This month we have the Magician, who brings exciting new things to fruition that may have been in the works, the Six of Cups, bringing in love and connection reminiscent of a happy time in our past, and this week is bringing us Temperance, reminding us to kind of find that happy balance between going in there and mixing it up and stepping back and moderating. Don't forget to check out our Instagram live segment, Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for an overview of the upcoming week's cards and a chance to ask your own question for a free mini live reading. You can also send through your questions in advance through badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram message me at Cardi B. And that way I'll make sure that I get to your question. Sometimes if you're in a different time zone or you can't attend the live, you can still see it for 24 hours. So make sure to send your questions through and I'll get to as many as possible. Also, I have some great events still coming up in February. I'll be back at the Open Center Friday, February 8th from 4 to 8 p.m. and doing a special Badass Bitches Tarot kickoff event at Om Shanti Saturday, February 9th from 1 to 3 p.m. Also, if you're looking for a super incredible spring retreat, I'm a featured reader at Rise Gathering May 31st to June 2nd. You can get $100 off of that weekend with code CARDSY2019 at risegatherings.com. Continue to follow Cardsy B on Instagram and check out my site, Badass Bitches Tarot, because I'm always adding more events and updates to where I'll be reading and where I'll be doing tarot events. Also, if you have a sec, please rate and review this podcast because that helps more people to view it. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.